So this morning we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Starting from verse 1 to verse 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Just imagine for a moment the beginning. Before time and space existed, before a single planet had begun its orbit, before a single breath had been breathed, before one word had been spoken, before there was any moment of sadness or laughter, before there was anything, everything that would ever exist, existed in the mind of God. Every atom, every second, every color, every creature had no other reality than as a thought of God. And then in a moment which our human minds can never fully comprehend, God spoke all things into existence. In one of the early church's creeds that was written around 300 AD, it begins with these words: "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is, seen and unseen." There are two incredible truths contained in this statement. Firstly, that God is the maker of all things, that he made it all from nothing, from his own thoughts and words. And secondly, that God made all things seen and unseen, which also means things we know about and things we don't even know about. At the center of the Christian faith is an unseen God bringing all seen and unseen things into existence. We see this in so many ways. In Genesis, God spoke to an old man and an infertile woman and told them that they would make a great nation. In 1 Samuel, God chooses the next king of Israel, not based on physical appearance, but on the condition of the heart. In 2 Kings, a servant despairs at the sight of a besieging army before the armies of the Lord in the heavens are revealed to him. In Daniel, the mouths of the lions were shut by a visiting angel. In Matthew, we see a thoroughly inadequate collection of fish and bread feeding 5,000 people with plenty to spare. And in Luke, people laughed at Jesus when he said that a dead 12-year-old girl was just sleeping before he led her by the hand and brought her to her feet. When we think about the Christian faith, it's easy for us to focus on the tangible human things: church buildings, church services, small groups, community programs. Even when we talk about God, who is inherently other and unseen, we can think of and talk about him in human ways, with human motivations and emotions. And as a result, it's possible for our faith to become unsatisfying, even mundane. Even if we love the people that we're with and the groups that we're in, if nothing transcends the natural, if we're not reaching into mystery, if our souls aren't connecting with the inexpressible beyond, then there's something significant missing that we long for and that we are meant to be experiencing. In Romans 4, the Apostle Paul describes God as the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. It's this reality that moves our faith out of the routine and the ordinary and into an adventure. God gives life to the dead. God calls into being things that were not. A life lived in intimate relationship with such a God could never be unsatisfying or routine. Instead, such a life is a call to live in the adventure of the unseen, in which we are constantly surprised by whom God calls and uses for his glory, in which we see God build and create things we never dreamed possible, in which we see God's people protected and given victory over evil, in which our humble gifts are multiplied in God's hands and used to bless many, and in which dead things, people, relationships, situations are brought to life again through his power. So today, we're going to look together at how we can go into the adventure of the unseen. And we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Because the starting point of this adventure is faith. Now, faith is the substance, assurance, confidence of what we hope for, and the evidence, conviction, assurance about things unseen. What's interesting about this description is that faith is something. It's not just hoping for the best or what you're left with in the absence of evidence. Faith is the substance, assurance, confidence of what we hope for. Faith is evidence, conviction, assurance of things unseen. Again, faith doesn't mean the absence of evidence. It is evidence. It is supernatural conviction and assurance about unseen things. The Bible tells us that true faith is not a human trait. It's a gift from God. God gives us faith so that we can have confidence in the things we hope for and conviction about the things unseen. And faith isn't the consequence of a lack of understanding. Faith is given to us to lead us into greater understanding. As verse 3 makes clear, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what was visible. Through the natural sciences, we can gain an understanding of the physical world. Through philosophy and psychology, we can gain an understanding of human behavior and meaning and relationships. But it's through faith that we gain an understanding of the unseen. Without faith, our understanding is incomplete. The substance and conviction of faith is what completes the picture for us. Now, there are those who say, I will only believe in the unseen things if they can be proven by science. But that makes as much sense as saying, I will only believe my life has meaning if it can be proven by this thermometer. It's not what it was made for. The thermometer could help. It could tell me that I'm warm and therefore must be alive. And if I'm alive, I must have a chance at meaning. But you need a different tool to gain understanding into meaning. Similarly, science, philosophy, psychology, and reason can all help us in our understanding of reality. But faith is the tool God gives us to help us understand the unseen things. Without it, our knowledge, our understanding is lacking. Let me show you this illustration to kind of represent what I'm talking about. Now, here in this kind of gray dome, we have all of human understanding, everything we can ascertain through our senses, our experience, through our study into the sciences and philosophies. And for many people, that actually is the entirety of their knowledge, the entirety of their understanding, their entirety of what they believe reality to be, what they believe the world to be. But what if then we add this divine understanding of the unseen things that we gain through faith? You see that through faith, we gain an understanding that exceeds our human understanding in time and space and scope. And it's not that you can't have a life that has adventure in it if you're living in that gray dome of human understanding. But when you combine our human understanding with the divine understanding that comes to us through faith, the adventure takes us beyond our human understanding. The adventure that God invites us to is the adventure of a life experiencing both the seen and the unseen, the natural and the supernatural, the physical and the spiritual. So I want to say to you, those of you who are watching this service and who have a faith, who believe in Jesus, don't be ashamed of your faith. It's a gift from God. And the longer you have it, the more understanding and assurance and conviction God can give you through it. Everyone's an expert these days. Every day in the news, we have a new expert epidemiologist telling us how long this is all going to last for us, or how the government are doing the wrong thing or the right thing. Many people today have a bachelor's in this, or a master's in this, or a doctorate in this. Well, Christians have a PhD in unseen things. That's what faith is. Or perhaps it's more of a vocational qualification. So maybe it's better to say that faith is like having an advanced diploma with a 4-year apprenticeship in unseen things. It's something to cherish, to be proud of. It gives you special insight and understanding into a significant aspect of reality. So let's take a moment to look over the rest of that passage from Hebrews 11 about what is the content of faith, what is its object. From verse 2, we see it's faith in a God who created the universe. From verse 4 with Abel, we see it's faith in a God who commends human acts of obedience and worship. From verses 5 and 6 with Enoch, we see it's a God who rewards those who please him. From verse 7 with Noah, we see it's a God who saves his people from his judgment against sin. From verses 8 to 12 with Abram and Sarah, we see it's a God who is faithful to his many promises to his people. And then in verses 13 to 16, we see it's Faith in a God who is preparing an eternal home for his people. So the starting point, the foundation of this adventure into the unseen is faith. So let me ask you, do you have faith? It doesn't mean never having a doubt or question, nor does it mean knowing the answer to every question that has or could be asked. It means having an assurance and a confidence in the reality of God and his promises to us, and living out of that confidence and assurance in him. So let's look, what does it mean to live out of that faith, to live out of that confidence and assurance? I want to look at three practical ways that we can live in the adventure of the unseen. And the first is through regular practices. In Matthew 6, we find Jesus talking to his disciples about the regular practices of faith, specifically giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. He says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." And then as he talks about each of these three practices in turn, he says on each occasion, so three times in total, he says, "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Prayer, giving, fasting. These might not seem like the most adventurous of acts, but it's through these regular practices of faith that we move between the seen and the unseen. When we choose to do these things in secret rather than to be seen by others, we are expressing our faith that God, who is unseen, sees us, and that the reward of God is greater than any praise we might have received from people. So often I feel like we can feel dry in these practices. It can feel like, what's the point? Does it really matter if I don't do them? No one actually sees whether I do or do not. But through these practices, we enter into the mystery of the unseen. We express our faith in God's promise of reward. The truth is, we can't fully know the impact of our prayers, or the change that our fasting makes in the heavenly realms, or the full kingdom impact of our giving. I sometimes wonder whether in heaven God is going to show us all of those things. He's going to show us the impact of each prayer, the difference that came after each period of fasting, and the way that our giving expanded his kingdom. In the meantime, though, we get glimpses where we feel the exhilaration of a prayer answered, or we experience the gratitude of a breakthrough that comes after a period of fasting, or we feel joy as we see our giving directly feeding people or making disciples. So often these practices bring us into that space where the seen and the unseen overlap. That space where our human and our divine understanding come together, where we both encounter the unseen God and also at times sense that he may be absent. And the challenge of all that, the challenge of living in that in-between, in the tension, in the sometime uncertainty of that, can sometimes lead us just to let go of it, to set it aside. It's too hard, it's too complicated, it's confusing, I don't get it, I don't see the results of this. But the adventure of the unseen is found in pressing in finding confidence in the things we hope for and assurance of the things not seen. My experience of this with these regular practices is I can remember times where I've given to a certain cause or person, and I felt the thrill of it, and in a kind of spiritual way I felt closer to God in it. I felt part of his purposes in it. But then I know there have been other times where I've given and felt nothing, seen nothing. I have no idea what that gift has done, but I'm just trusting that God somehow is using it for his purposes. Same with prayer. I remember times where I've experienced answered prayer. And often for me, it's been when I've asked God for guidance. What should I do? What step should I take? What decision should I make? And he's come through in a really amazing way and showed me the way. But then there are also times where I've prayed and I haven't seen any answer. I haven't felt God respond in a particular way. And then, if I'm being totally honest, there are many other times where I just haven't prayed. Where I've kind of been more focused on trying to do things or just experiencing life in the natural and physical, and I just haven't reached out to God in those moments. With fasting, it's not something I've done very much in my life, but the weird thing about it is the times where I do remember fasting are times in my life where I remember God moving in such significant and powerful ways in my life. And yet I don't do it very often. And that's part of this adventure of the unseen. We feel this draw towards the human and physical and natural, and just to kind of get on with our lives, to live in the gray dome of our human understanding. And yet God meets us when we step out of that, when we give and trust him with our giving, when we pray and trust him with the answers, where we fast and seek him. So faith is the foundation of this adventure of the unseen. These regular practices are the first steps in the journey. Secondly, revelations. In Acts we find, it says this quote, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And this, for me, is where the excitement of the adventure of the unseen really comes in. God possesses all knowledge and understanding and wisdom of everyone and everything in every place. He has it all. And from time to time, God shares that knowledge and understanding and wisdom with us to particular people about particular things at particular times. God gives visions and dreams to his people. He shows them what is and what will be. He calls them to co-create with him the future, to bring things into existence that don't yet exist. And not just any things, but seemingly impossible things. Nations experiencing revival and repentance. Unreached people hearing the gospel in their own language. New ministries and missions and churches being planted. Stadiums being filled with people worshiping God. Dead things being raised to life. God also gives words of prophecy and knowledge. He gives spiritual discernment and insight to his people. He helps us see the unseen in people and in situations. He moves us beyond what we know and gives us insight that can help free a person and set them on a new path with God. He helps us identify spiritual forces at work in different situations and pray for people's deliverance. He reveals truth to us when it's not clear or when deceit and lies are bringing confusion. I can think of so many times in my life where I've experienced a revelation from God. When I first started out preaching, I was 18 when I first preached at my church. And in those early years, the way that God would call me to preach was that often, for whatever reason, I was on the train going into the city to and from work, and I'd just kind of be thinking about nothing, minding my own business, and then I would, in my mind's eye, see and hear myself preaching, which is a kind of strange thing to happen. And then I would get out pen and paper or my phone or computer, whatever I had handy, and I would write down what I saw and heard myself saying. And then I would go to my senior minister And I would say, I believe God's given me a sermon to preach. And he would put it in the calendar and I would preach it. And there are other ways too. I've given and received prophetic words to people, speaking something into a person's life that I didn't know or that they didn't know about me. I remember I was in rural Zambia once, and I had two prophetic words spoken to me in that time, as God prompted these people who knew nothing about me to speak into my life in a powerful way. One of them actually even gave me a name, like a name for me that I've kept with me and has helped shape who I am as a person. Even this series, this Go series, and the ones that came before it, Real, Good, All in One, came from a revelation that God gave me on a beach in California about 7 years ago. And God's given me visions and dreams of new things, calling things that don't yet exist into existence. But I also know that so often in my life, I'm just focused on the daily to-do list. I'm just focused on getting things done. And I'm not necessarily seeking God's revelation in those ways. It's possible to identify as a Christian and not seek God's revelation. You can just use your own understanding, come up with your own ideas, give your own wise counsel to people. And they're not bad things, they're not nothing, but they're not where the adventure into the unseen is. The adventure is found in seeking God's revelation. Ideas are fine, but they're nothing compared to God's visions and dreams. Human instinct and understanding is fine, but it's nothing compared to a word of prophecy or insight or God's spiritual discernment or his revealed knowledge. Thirdly, in power. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. In our world, the term thoughts and prayers has become a phrase that people make fun of, as if it essentially means to do nothing or to offer nothing. You notice, don't you, in difficult situations, even non-Christians who don't offer thoughts and prayers will send positive thoughts to people in challenging situations, because we all want to do something. When people are experiencing hard things, we want to do something to help. And it's like we just sending them a positive thought is the best thing people can do. Or for Christians, it's thoughts and prayers, which isn't nothing, because prayers are powerful. But we have this sense, don't we, that we want to be able to do something. Because so often in life we feel helpless, we feel powerless about the things that are going on. And we know clearly from the Bible that God is a God of power, that God has power to heal, to restore, to reconcile, to bring to life. And God makes that power present with us through his Spirit. And again, we're into the mystery here of it's according to God's will, and he acts according to his own will and purposes, and it's sometimes in ways we don't understand, but the promise is clear that God invites us into his kingdom. He gives us his Spirit so that we would have access to his power to bring into the situations and the relationships and the conversations that we have with others. But it's about taking that step, again, beyond the human and the natural and into the spiritual and supernatural. With one of my discipleship groups, we've been looking at this area of supernatural, and we've been looking at praying for healing, and we talked about praying for healing, and we looked at what the Bible says about praying for healing, and we all felt like, yeah, this is a good thing that we should pray for healing. But then when it comes to it in practice, we find we're much more inclined to pray for comfort or peace or God's presence with a person. And maybe we might drop in and, God, would you heal? But to actually, you know, anoint with oil, to lay hands, to get invested into that prayer of healing takes us into an uncomfortable space. And we recognize that as a group, it's like, oh, are we actually going to do this? because you start to feel weird about it when you do. But again, that's crossing that threshold into the adventure of the unseen. Where we're comfortable tends to be in our natural abilities. Even with preaching, I know. I'm a fairly eloquent person. I can put words together. I can speak them reasonably well. And there are times where I put a sermon together and I'll be like, oh yeah, you know, I've used all my natural ability, and somewhere in the background I'm trusting that God has guided it and that people will respond. But God's power comes not in our eloquence or our natural abilities. It comes where we seek Him in prayer and ask Him to move in powerful and miraculous ways. There was a moment here this morning when nothing was working, and Brod and Sam had tried everything to get it to work. And there was a moment where Sam, I think it was at the end of everything he had thought of to do, and he said, well, we either just keep kind of randomly trying things, or we just need to stop and ask God for a miracle. And it was Sam saying that that then led Amy and I just to step to the side and to pray as people were still working through things and ask God for a miracle. And I remember just thinking, today, of all the days where I'm preaching about the adventure of the unseen, this would be the day that I find myself saying, God, we need you. We've tried everything. Would you do a miracle and make this stream work so that our church can gather this morning? I found myself praying in tongues, in this unlearned language, just trusting that God somehow was through His Spirit interceding for us as a church. So often we can forget to do those kinds of things. I had forgotten until Sam said that. And then it's like, oh, of course. So can I encourage you that God is calling all of us, all of His people, into an adventure in the unseen. That's not about our human understanding, our human wisdom, our eloquence, but where we're stepping beyond that and we're seeking the God of miracles. We're seeking the God of power. That we're seeking the God of all wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And we're saying, God, would you lead me and take me beyond myself and use me for your glory? I want to give you a challenge as I close this week. And each week with this Go series, we want to give you a challenge to take on and do during the week. And this week's challenge is this. Get a blank sheet of paper and a pen and spend half an hour with God this week and simply just say, God, would you speak to me? Now, it might take a bit of time to empty your head. You might find yourself writing a to-do list or saying, you know, don't forget to take the car for a service this week. That's fine. Get it all out of your head. Take as long as you need to. Blank sheet of paper. Enter into the unseen this week and say, God, would you speak? Father God, we praise you that though you are an unseen God, that you work in incredible ways in our midst. God, we acknowledge the limits of our own understanding, but you, Lord, hold all things. You know all things, and you invite us into an adventure with you. God, in faith, would you take us beyond ourselves? Would you help us to step out, to seek you, to trust you, that we might find confidence in the things that we hope for and assurance of the things unseen. Amen.